Crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting on him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith that she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus let her go in with him, did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, "Stop the weeping, she isn't dead, she's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what happened. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. "Take nothing for your journey," he instructed them. "Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate." So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
David, thank you. Nigel's going to come and speak to us in a wee second, but just before he does, I wanted to tell you about something that happened yesterday. So Nigel, for a wee while, has been working on a thing called Mission Bangor, which is about bringing local church leaders together to say, actually, we're doing a lot of the same stuff together, and when we try to reach out, we're replicating a little bit what we're doing. And what about if we got together around a table with as many local churches who are willing to come and sort of talk about ways that we could work together to bless Bangor and to sort of represent Jesus and to be those who are going on mission together. And that was called Mission Bangor, and it's had a number of kind of fruitful developments come out of it, but one of them was a thing called Love Bangor, which happened yesterday. It's going to happen again on the 25th of June. Yesterday we were in Bloomfield Estate and we had 50 people from various churches in Bangor. I think there were 7 or 8 churches represented, and together we were 50 people, and we went up there and we sort of we had sat with the local community organization and asked them, we want to help, how could we help you? And they said, well, actually, we're having a real issue with the paths in this place, in the sense that they've all become overgrown with weeds, and people in wheelchairs and people with buggies actually can't get around these paths anymore, and it's making it really difficult for people. So if you could come and scrape all that stuff up and clear a lot of the rubbish from around here, it would really help people in this place. So 50 people gathered yesterday, and we spent 2 hours, and we cleared a lot of those paths. So it was really, really good, and I just wanted to, Nigel, invite you up and sort of pray for you before you speak, and also just pray for Mission Bangor and all that you're at work doing in this church and among other churches to bring blessing to this city. So let's pray. So Lord, just I want to thank you for Nigel and for his desire, Lord, to see this city blessed in Jesus' name, and to see many people find encouragement, hope, healing, blessing, and also, Lord, be drawn to Jesus to find new and eternal life and forgiveness and grace and love that only you can give, Lord, the perfect love of a loving, perfect God. Lord, his desire, Nigel's desire, is that you would be glorified. And I pray, Lord, as he speaks to us now, that you would bless him and use him, Lord, to commission us afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.
Is that on? Am I on now? I'm on now. Thanks so much, Dave. Good stuff. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that by your living word that you would reveal truth to us, and also that you would impart power to us for the glory of your name. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So in this series, we've been reflecting on the fact that Jesus Christ is the living word. And when we become followers of Jesus Christ, then we are washed clean. The living word comes to live within us, and we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. And 2 weeks ago, we were reflecting on the fact that the early Christians were first called Christians at Antioch, and they were called Christians because Christ means anointed, the anointed one. The Christ, the Messiah, is the anointed one, the one who is anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the Christians, the early Christians, were called Christians because they were also anointed with the Holy Spirit. And so we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. That's a defining mark for us as followers of Jesus Christ. We are ones who are in the anointed one, Jesus Christ. And so in this series, Living Word, we've been thinking about that and the fact that the living word, Christ, is in us through repentance and faith in his atoning work for us, and also as well, consequently, being in him, we are also anointed with the Holy Spirit. And 2 weeks ago, we were reflecting on the prophetic ministry of Jesus in terms of the word aspect of that. We're reflecting on the fact that in the Old Testament, there were three types of people who were anointed with oil for service, symbolizing anointing with the Holy Spirit: prophets, priests, and kings. And we reflected on the fact 2 weeks ago that in terms of our prophetic word ministry, speaking truth, revealing the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, praising God and encouraging people, which is what prophecy is all about, that all of that emanates in our hearts. Jesus said that basically out of the heart the overflow of the mouth comes. And so basically our desire is to be transformed through Jesus by the living word. And therefore, with our hearts transformed, we will see that come out in our speech. So if we want to change our speech and to become people who are full of praise, full of thanksgiving, and encouraging to other people, it has to start here. And if it starts here, then it will come out here. And we'll be people who will just, will be full of praise and full of joy. And we talked about how powerful that is. How powerful human words are. Because the living word, Jesus Christ, of course, is, he is power. And so our words have a massive impact on those around. But the saying goes that actions speak louder than words. So this morning I want to talk about the other aspect of Jesus fulfilling what it means to be a prophet. Jesus is, he is the prophet, he is the priest, he is the king, and he's much more. But he is the one who fulfills all these roles. The prophets, the priests, and the kings were a foreshadowing of who Jesus is. So the prophets received the word of God and spoke the word of God because they were prefiguring, foreshadowing, pointing towards the one who is the living word who would come. But the prophets didn't just speak the word of God. They showed the power of God. They performed miracles. Which is why whenever Jesus walked the earth, people went, there's a prophet. Because he spoke the truth and he performed miracles. And that's why the people went, there's a prophet. In fact, sometimes they said, there's the prophet. And Jesus accepted the title because he knew, as he said, if you remember in Matthew chapter 5, don't think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come to fulfill them. Why? Because he is the prophet, he is the priest, and he is the king that the Old Testament was all pointing towards. The thing about the Old Testament is that there were only certain people anointed with oil for service, and they were quite often in the upper echelons of society. The kings, the priests, the prophets. And so we can go through the Old Testament and we can pick out who was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And there are certain people. But the message of the Old Testament is most people weren't. The message of the Old Testament is that there were select individuals, prophets, priests, and kings, who were anointed with the Holy Spirit. And what the prophets did in the Old Testament was they declared the word of the Lord and they did miracles. So, Elijah the prophet. The Lord raised the widow of Zarephath's son from the dead. We can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 17. And the mother obviously is deeply distraught because she is a widow, her only son dies, and she is desperate for Elijah to do something. And so Elijah carries the child's body upstairs. And in 1 Kings 17, he stretched himself out over the child 3 times, and he cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, please let this child's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. Then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. Look, he said, your son is alive. Then the woman told Elijah, now listen to this. Now I know for sure that you are a man of God and the Lord truly speaks through you. Why? Because he performed a miracle. As Elijah neared the end of his ministry, Elisha asked him, please let me inherit a double portion of your spirit and become your successor. In ancient Israelite law, the eldest son received twice as much as all of his other brothers. A double portion. That's the way the system worked. The oldest son had a double portion. And so Elisha comes to Elijah and he says to him, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit and become your successor. And so Elisha was asking to be recognized as the spiritual successor of Elijah. There was a whole company of prophets, and Elisha was basically saying, I think the Lord has called me to lead the company of prophets. And so I want to be your successor. And Elijah said, well, if you see me getting caught up to heaven, if you see me when I go, then you will be my successor. And Elisha did see Elijah getting caught up in a whirlwind and a chariot of fire, and his cloak fell to the ground, And Elisha takes it up, puts it on. He receives a double portion of the spirit of his master, Elijah. And how do we know this? Because, well, first of all, immediately, what he does just after he's put the cloak on, he performs a miracle over the River Jordan. He immediately parted the River Jordan, showing the fact that the spirit of Elijah, as he'd asked, the Holy Spirit, was upon him. And the book of Kings records 14 miracles performed by Elijah. How many performed by Elisha? 28. A double portion, just as Elisha had asked. And so, what the writer of Kings wants us to see is the fact that Elisha was indeed the one who succeeded Elijah. And so there's a miracle that Elijah does, the raising of the son of the widow of Zarephath, and Elisha performs a miracle which is virtually identical. So we can read about it in 2 Kings 4. When Elisha arrived, the child was dead. This is a different child. Lying there on the prophet's bed, Elisha went in and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, his hands on the child's hands, and he stretched out on him, and the child's body began to grow warm. And Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, then he stretched himself out again on the child, and this time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha then presented the boy alive to his mother. So, it's basically to show that Elisha has received a double portion of Elijah. And just as Elijah raised a boy from the dead, so Elisha raises the boy from the dead. And the similarities are very strong. The child is dead. The prophet goes into the room. The child is raised from the dead. The child is presented. The boy is presented to his family. It's the same pattern both for Elijah and for Elisha. Now, let's turn to the New Testament. Luke is the writer of the Gospel of Luke, and he's also the writer of Acts. And Luke does something very similar to the writer of Kings. And he wants to show that Peter, and not just Peter, but Paul and the other disciples, are those who continue the miraculous work of Jesus Christ. That in the same way that the mantle of Elijah was given to Elisha, the mantle of Jesus is given to Peter and Paul and all of the other disciples. So when Luke writes his accounts of Jesus raising someone from the dead and Peter raising someone from the dead, I believe he has in mind Elijah and Elisha from the Old Testament. The difference is that it was males in the Old Testament, it's females in the New Testament. So, Luke records the prophetic miracle workings of Jesus. And this morning we heard about Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. He said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith, and your daughter will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, James, and John, and the little girl's father and mother. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned and she immediately stood up. And Jesus presented the little girl to her parents. So, in Mark's gospel, Mark records the words of Jesus in Aramaic, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." So, that's the reading we had this morning from Luke. Now, if we turn to Acts chapter 9, the miracle, prophetic miracle ministry of Jesus is seen to continue through Peter. And so just as has happened in Kings, now happens in Luke Acts. So, Peter arrives. A woman called Tabitha has died. Peter asked those mourning the death of Tabitha to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the mourners and presented Tabitha to them alive. Same as the ones in the Old Testament. Dead person comes alive, presented to the family. So what did Jesus say to the young girl? Talitha cum. What did Peter say to Tabitha? Tabitha cum. There is one letter of difference. Peter was in the room with Jesus when he raised the young girl from the dead. I imagine he was thinking all about how did Jesus raise that girl from the dead? And he got down on his knees and he said, "Jesus, do the same thing through me that I saw you." And Jesus did. Because Jesus, the living Word, lives inside every single one of us. All of us are anointed with the same Spirit as Jesus. We are Christians. We are anointed ones. Elijah, Elisha, Peter, Paul, Stephen, Philip, they spoke the word of the Lord and they performed miracles, but not because they were God. That might sound a fairly obvious thing to say. But what the Bible makes clear to us, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is that Jesus raised this girl from the dead, not because he was God. He left all of his power in heaven when he came to earth. And he relied completely on the power of the Holy Spirit to declare the word of the Lord and to raise the dead and to heal the sick and to calm the storm and to feed the 5,000. Jesus did all of these things not because he is God, but because he is the perfect man, anointed with the Holy Spirit. And you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, have been washed clean and declared completely innocent. That's what atonement is all about. And we are anointed with the same Holy Spirit by which Jesus raised the dead and healed the sick. And so what Luke wants us to understand in his gospel and in Acts is, think back to Elijah and Elisha. They weren't God. They could raise the dead. Jesus did the same. Peter did the same. Not because he's God, but because he was filled with the Spirit of God. So in Luke chapter 9, as we heard today, Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, and he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Then not long after that, Jesus sent out 72 disciples to declare the word of the Lord and to heal the sick. And then after he died and rose from the dead, he sent out all his disciples, Jews and Gentiles, to declare the word of the Lord and to heal the sick. There's a really interesting moment in recorded in Numbers chapter 11, where there are a number of people in the Israelite camp, and they're prophesying. And these people haven't prophesied before. And so Joshua comes to Moses and says, stop them prophesying. And Moses says, I wish all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them all. He's keen for people to prophesy. He says to Joshua, don't stop them. He says, I wish all the Lord's people were prophets. Well, Moses got his wish, because on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out on all flesh. And Peter stands up to explain what is happening. And he says, in those days, he's quoting the prophet Joel, in those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And so, in Acts, Luke describes the prophetic work of the believers as they declared the word of the Lord and they performed miracles. And Luke writes Acts, and it writes his gospel to show that the ministry is being passed on by Jesus to the 12, to the 72, to all the disciples. In Acts, he's saying, it's not just Peter, it's also Paul. In fact, it's also Stephen. In fact, it's also Philip. In fact, it's all the believers. Because they all spoke the word of the Lord, and they all performed miracles. In the Old Testament, there were certain people, mostly men, mostly in the upper echelons of society, who were anointed with the Holy Spirit. A significant part of the good news of Jesus Christ is the fact that this is now for everybody. Jews and non-Jews, men and women, slaves and free, old and young, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and they will prophesy. What does it mean to prophesy? To declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to perform miracles. So that's what we're called to do. That's why we have a wholeness and healing service here today. Because we believe that Jesus Christ is alive in us as the people of God, that he equips us to speak words of encouragement and of prophecy and to declare the word of the Lord. And he also empowers us to have the power and authority to heal the sick. That's our prophetic birthright. It's why Paul says of all the spiritual gifts, eagerly desire to prophesy. Why? Because it's the surest way to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. But it's not just by our words, it's also by our actions. Which is why the people recognize Jesus as a prophet, because he was a miracle worker. So let's go out from this place today in the power of the Holy Spirit. During communion, there's an opportunity, as well as receiving the elements of bread and wine. Johnny and Dale are going to be at the back, and there's the opportunity for anointing with oil. And as we've done in recent months, the opportunity is for reassurance of forgiveness and for healing. That's what anointing of oil is about. It's about knowing the fact that through Christ we are indeed forgiven. It's an opportunity by the Spirit to be reassured that we're children of God. It's also an opportunity to receive healing, whether of body, mind, or spirit. But this morning, we'd also love to offer the opportunity to be anointed with oil on your forehead, to be commissioned for the prophetic ministry that is your birthright, to declare the praise of God, to encourage people, and to heal the sick. Because that's what the Old Testament drum roll was all leading up to. The miracle-working prophets were just pointing to who was to come. The Spirit of Christ is in you. The Spirit of Christ has anointed you. You have immense authority in your words and in your actions. So let's be bold. Whenever we encounter people, as we will do, I'm sure, today or days ahead, and they tell us about an ailment they have, or a sickness they have, or a cancer they have, to say, I'll pray for you. Or if you're feeling really bold, to say, can I pray for you now? Over the years, we have seen many people healed, both in here and also out in the streets, when we used to have a team went out every Wednesday. And we had people healed from stage 4 cancer and all sorts of serious stuff. And they were willing to be videoed, and we have it on record of how the Lord has healed people amazingly. We pray, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and we leave the results to God. But this is what it means to be those who bring the good news in word and deed out into our communities. So that opportunity for commissioning in your prophetic ministry is available, and Johnny and Dale will be at the back with oil. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the good news. Lord, we're bowled over by the fact that you have given us authority. Authority by your holy name. To pray for the sick and to see them healed in Jesus' name. To declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, both by what we do and by what we say. Lord, may all the glory go to you. Help us to pray with faith. Help us to be filled with love and compassion. And Lord, we pray that many people would come to realize that Jesus Christ is the King over all. And Lord, may our lives declare that truth, both by healing and by speaking. So Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Give us fresh compassion for those who are discouraged, those who are sick, and those who are filled with disbelief. Give us fresh confidence in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you that you're making all things well, and that in the end, we as followers of Jesus will have resurrection bodies in a new heaven and a new earth. But Lord, we pray that you would bring the good, perfect future of the kingdom of God to bear in the here and now, and that we would see all sorts of miraculous things happening. And that most of all, we would see people come to declare that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord of their lives. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.